Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on current events when we come back. You know, with an income of $50,000 a year, you're paying $7,650 in Social Security taxes. That's if you're self-employed, paying that 15.3%. Well, then, shouldn't you subtract that $7,650 from your $50,000 income and then pay your income tax on the $42,350 balance instead of paying 17% of the whole $50,000 a second time? But the IRS makes you pay 15.3% of $50,000 in Social Security tax once, and then they make you pay 17% of $50,000 in income tax twice. That makes you pay 17% of the $7,650 twice. And that little bookkeeping trick steals an extra $1,300 from you and everyone else that pays that tax. Now, what would you think if Sears, Penny's, or your credit card company charged you twice, like Social Security and the IRS does? Now, isn't that just real special? Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number's 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package while you're at it. It's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. Now, Tax and Status, our school, is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, we've been talking about current events, and I picked up the International Forecaster, and I wanted to give you some news pieces here from Bob Chapman. Now, let me give you a little plug here for Bob's newsletter. You can subscribe. It's $130 a year. It comes on the email. It just comes right over the computer twice a week. You'll get it on Wednesday and Saturday twice a week. That's about 100 issues a year. The website is called internationalforecaster.com. It is the, T-H-E, internationalforecaster.com. Now, they've got an email address. It's International Forecaster. That's two words. internationalforecaster@yahoo.com. It's easy enough. Bob Chapman is the guy that writes it. Now, he's an old man. He's probably older than I am. And he writes this newsletter. And it's got a lot of neat news articles in it. Now, let me show you a couple of three things that are going on here in the world that maybe you hadn't heard from Katie or Brian. ConocoPhillips has called for a federal global warming emissions cap. This is part of a propaganda campaign that was kicked off at the Academy Awards. Al Gore is looking for a Nobel Prize. He was tutored by his father, Senator Gore, and Armand Hammer, who was a Soviet spy. ConocoPhillips is joining the U.S. Climate Action Partnership. That's a group of corporations that have called for a U.S. emissions cap. What this is all about is called a carbon tax. It's a $1 tax on each and every gallon of gasoline that would tremendously lower the American standard of living. This is especially true for the poor and lower middle class. But it would go a long way towards wiping out our deficit, our current account deficit. This, dear readers, is what this is all about. It's called globalism. Now, the March budget deficit widened to $96.3 billion versus the experts' forecast of $90 billion. Well, they were wrong again. Our national debt is $8 trillion, and it goes up by about $90 billion a month. Now, the NASD has warned that the amount of debt that investors took on to buy securities on margin has soared to $321 billion in February. That is considerably more than the record $299.9 billion in March of 2000. Now remember, March of 2000 is the magic month that the stock market collapsed back in 2000. It's when the bubble broke. Now, that caused a problem for which the Bush administration later elected, you know, in 2000, 2001. They said, well, we got to solve this economy problem. Now, the world's economy is sitting on the edge of the cliff, about ready to fall off. Now, the world's economy has been going sour since about 1971 when America went off the gold payment standard, the Bretton Woods Agreement of 1944. But that being the case, we have been in a fiat currency circumstance from that day to this. And all of the numbers that we get here, all of the numbers are as bad as or worse than the period leading up to the Great Depression of the 1930s. Now, these numbers tell us a story. The numbers told us a story in 1927, 28, 29, and 30. And these numbers are telling us a story in 2001, 2002, 2005, 2007. Now, the period of the 1920s is likened to the period of the 1990s. Boom times. God, everything's great. Now, we're hyperinflating, and we can keep staving off the inevitable day of collapse. Unlike 1928 and 29. And what we're going to do here is we're going to hyperinflate. We're going to go into banana republic money. Now, you've heard about hyperinflation. Well, get ready, boys and girls, because it's coming on worldwide. Now, again, most Americans expect a recession within a year, and they disapprove of President Bush's handling of the economy, even though unemployment is supposedly at a five-year low. 71% of those earning less than $40,000 a year said that they expect a recession. 50% who make more than $100,000 expect a recession. Now, the reason for American disillusionment over the economy include the record discrepancy in income and wealth. Pocketbook reality is at odds with government economic statistics, and Americans' living standards are declining. So they're not being fooled by the bureaucrats in Washington. Citigroup will reduce annual spending by $4.6 billion over the next 3 years. To do that, they're going to cut 17,000 jobs. They will close down 45 Smith Barney branches, and then they will shift 29,000 full and part-time jobs to Poland and India. Let me ask you a question here, boys and girls. Honest to God, do you believe that Citigroup is your friend when they're going to offshore 29,000 jobs to Poland and India? You know, if Americans had any brains, they would stop doing business with these corporations that export their jobs overseas, because not only is it un-American, it's treasonous. It's treasonous because it is disloyal to Americans. But multinational corporations have no loyalty to Americans. And I can't see why Americans should show any loyalty to multinational corporations. Well, subprime loans, for the most part, are owned by trusts and hedge funds, and we see no way that regulators can help strapped homeowners to stave off foreclosure. Trust rules bar servicing firms that administer the mortgages to modify those mortgages. Politicians now want to keep people in homes that they could never afford in the first place. So it has now become a political football. Now, those of you who do not believe us when we tell you that you should never chase a yield should consider the following. American Business, a subprime lender, offered 13-month notes which yielded 12.99% interest. And an uninsured money market note with a yield of 6% 3 months before they filed for bankruptcy. Now, of course, all of the investors who invested in these yields and bonds lost their money. And Credit Suisse, J.P. Morgan, and Morgan Stanley collected $50 million in fees. Now, that's a loss of $3.6 billion for the investors, people like you and me. And Bear Stearns earned $540 million last year, turning subprime loans into bonds. What has been done to investors by Wall Street was unconscionable. Now, I mentioned this to you the last program. I said, now listen, if you want to invest in stocks and bonds, and in these money market certificates and these CDOs and so on, well, get after it. But it violates thou shalt not steal, and it violates you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag, and it violates the basic laws of God, and as a result, you lose your shirt. So the people that invested in these bonds, invested in these securities, deserve what they got. Now, it may be unconscionable because the corporations involved are doing this intentionally to steal their money. But they couldn't get their money stolen if they didn't invest in these criminal enterprises. Can you follow that? That's why God told you not to deal in unjust weights and balances and stick with gold and silver, stick with wheat, beans, corn, honey, and oil, stick with livestock and real estate, and you can't go wrong. Especially when you pay cash. No credit. No interest. It's what we call property as opposed to leverage. Ah, but there's more. Japan has a 0.5% lending rate. And based on an economy expanding at 5.5%, this overnight loan rate is far out of alignment with reality. And the result of this is what we call the yen carry trade that is creating credit bubbles all over the world. It is a product of this obscene policy hatched by the U.S. Federal Reserve System and with the assistance of the Bank of Japan, that has continued an undervalued yen that delights the Japanese exporters as they continue to undersell our domestic producers. All right, so now, here's the Federal Reserve of the United States in an unjust weight and balance program with the Japanese Central Bank that benefits Japanese exporters at the expense of businessmen in the United States of America who have to compete with this unfair, unreasonable free trade policy. It's called free trade. That's why our domestic producers can't compete, so they move their plants to China or someplace else and offshore your jobs. Let's hear it for free trade, huh? Now, worse yet, Japan's corporatist fascists are manipulating their inflation data. They claim that they still have deflation, and as the commodities they import have surged 86% over the last 5 years. Now, these people, like our own elitists here in the United States, couldn't tell the truth if their lives depended on it. The yen carry trade is a trillion-dollar enterprise, and it is urgently needed to keep the world economy afloat. This, in part, is what is driving world commodity prices and what will eventually drive gold and silver prices. They can create the liquidity, but they cannot direct it. Now, the cheap yen not only affects the price of exports to the United States, but it is badly hurting the Eurozone as well. And as you know, money and credit in the Eurozone has been up 10% for 2 years, and every time the ECB, that's the European Central Bank, raises interest rates to ward off monetary inflation caused by the M3 increases, the Japanese make further inroads into the Eurozone market. There is no question that Tokyo is stealing market share, as they have done here in the United States. And the Japanese refuse to stop the yen carry trade, and like the Chinese and most other nations, they refuse to allow their currency to appreciate. If Japan and China do not raise rates or allow currency appreciation, then we will have trade war, and we believe this is where all of this is ending up. The Japanese refuse to reduce its sales of yen and cut off the carry trade. The U.S., Japanese, and Chinese are turning the financial world upside down. In fact, this distortion is a driving force toward higher gold prices, and this is why the central banks of Europe have dumped 57 tons of gold on the market over the last 4 weeks. The European Central Bank should be increasing its interest rates 0.25% and another 0.25% in 6 months to combat inflation. But they are stumped unless Japan raises their rates as well. The selling of gold by the European Central Banks is no longer having a lasting effect on the price of gold, and if they raise interest rates and the Japanese do not, and the European Central Banks do not sell gold, gold prices will test $850 an ounce, and European bond yields will move higher. China is just as bad domestically, since the 9% Shanghai Stock Exchange correction. That Chinese market has risen another 25%. Bank reserve ratios were increased 0.5% to 10.5%, but money supply expanded nearly 18%, and outstanding bank loans increased 17% in February alone. For just January and February, lending was 1/3 of all of 2006 combined. January and February factory output was up 18.5% year over year. It's absolutely incredible. Absolutely no restraint, and the Chinese want to produce as much as they can before trade barriers are erected. Now, boys and girls, what this is telling us is that the Chinese and the Japanese are getting prepared. They're preparing their nations for a world economic depression. Over here in America, our Federal Reserve is helping them do just that. And here's what's coming. In order to initiate this new world order, this worldwide government, we've got to have a disaster. We have to have an economic collapse. It's being engineered, just like they did in 1929. Engineered. And when that comes, and you're faced with the loss of your job, the loss of your house, the loss of your assets, when they come to you and say, here's the solution. Go down and get a chip in your right hand and a chip in your forehead, and you can keep your job and you can keep your house. You'll do it. You'll take the mark of the beast and you'll love it. Because in the final analysis, you won't have any other choice. That's why it's important, boys and girls, that you keep abreast of what's going on around you so that you can take evasive action. Those that take the mark of the beast are going to be marked. Those that don't take the mark of the beast won't be able to buy, sell, or trade. It's kind of, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. Now, you're going to have a choice to make. It's either you're going to choose the mark of the beast and God's going to get you, or you're going to choose not to have the mark of the beast and starve to death. Now, what did you want to do? Well, for our house and our family, we decided that we would take on the law of God, practice the Ten Commandments, tell them to take that chip and stick it. And there's an interesting concept here. An interesting news article came out the other day. The House of Representatives up in New Hampshire, those people up in New Hampshire, told the federal government, we're not taking that national ID card up here. Now, I don't know how that's going to play out. They're talking about this national ID card, which is going to go hand in hand with Social Security and this phony war on terrorism and the mark of the beast and this New World Order. All of it's coming together, and it sends a pretty chilling signal to me. It sends a chilling signal here to the newsletter writers, too, and they're warning us. You know, they're telling you what's going on. That's not coming from Katie Couric and CBS News now. Always remember that. Now, if you'd like to get a subscription here, the name and number here again is Bob Chapman, is this fellow's name. That isn't who you write to, though. You want to go to theinternationalforecaster.com, www.theinternationalforecaster.com. I think it'll give you all the information you need. If you want to send him an email, then go to internationalforecaster, two words, at yahoo.com. $130 a year. Worth every dime. About six and a half cents a page, I think I figured. Now, the Fed chairman. Remember our new Fed chairman, Helicopter Ben Bernanke? Well, he again tells us that the current market-based system is the best way to regulate the multi-trillion dollar hedge fund industry. Although improvements can be made, Ben must think that we're all stupid. If hedge funds and derivatives are not regulated, we can promise you that there's going to be an economic crash. And how can this self-regulatory system be superior to increased government regulation? These players are predators. They prey upon each other, and they prey upon the investing public. They rig markets all day, every day. It's called the Plunge Protection Team. And in his speech at New York University, he said the failure of the LTMC came at a period of financial stress in 1998. Well, we would agree that's true. But what got LTCM into trouble in the first place had nothing to do with the stress, and it had everything to do with their short gold position. And Bernanke avoided discussing the rape and destruction of Amaranth Advisors by J.P. Morgan Chase. The chairman of our privately owned Federal Reserve said that he supported the conclusions reached by the president's working group on financial markets. You want to remember that term. It's called the President's Working Group on Financial Markets. The acronym is the Plunge Protection Team. They control about $100 billion plus, and they can move into any market anywhere in the world and manipulate it. And they not only can, they have, they do, and they will continue to. Now, this President's Working Group on Financial Markets, which stated that what the hedge fund industry needed was increased vigilance on the part of the investors rather than new government rules. In other words, it's every man for himself. And there is no control, and there will be no control over what goes on, even though government affords investors absolutely no protection whatsoever. How can this be when the Securities and Exchange Commission has hundreds of millions of dollars to pursue every small brokerage firm in America, little small brokers and newsletter writers, and we're to have no interest in investors betting billions of dollars in our markets? We continue to encounter broker after broker, which has never had a complaint, where the Securities and Exchange Commission are calling their clients and encouraging their clients to get them to file complaints so that the SEC can come in and prosecute them and put them out of business, because these brokers are recommending gold and silver stocks and gold and silver portfolios. Somebody has to explain to us why the latter is more important than the former. Just who in the hell is kidding who? The game is rigged for the elitists who make billions every day screwing Joe Sixpack and the general public. Derivatives and hedge funds are keeping the markets from collapsing, and the players are cooperating with our government. And that's why there's no regulation, and there will be no regulation. Now, how can it be that you don't regulate hedge funds? Some 9,000 hedge funds whose assets top more than $1 trillion while you're chasing after little brokers. It's absurd, and it flies in the face of history, and it flies in the face of reality. Now here's a little piece. It says, our Army has proposed to our Secretary of Defense that we extend the tour of duty of every active duty soldier in Iraq by 3 months. We believe the burden that is being put on our military is too much to bear. Having once been a short timer in the military, we know how important deadlines to leave are. Any and every extension is misery, and it brings loathing and contempt on a corrupt system. The stress and unfairness is overwhelming to even the strongest. Now that we were forced to allow a surge, the surge is now being extended as well, not for 3 months, but for 9 months. Our military simply cannot get the job done. They're overwhelmed, and that is the fault of our inept leadership. Our General Petraeus told us that we would have the problem in hand by August, and now that doesn't seem to be the case. This is what perpetual war for perpetual peace is all about. This plan can only provide more desertions and more soldiers doing anything possible to avoid combat, and that is not the way to win wars. How would you feel if this was your third deployment? Our forces in Iraq are firing 250,000 bullets for every insurgent that they kill. And as a result, American ammunition manufacturers cannot keep up with demand. As a result, we are importing ammunition from Israel, and we're using 1.8 million rounds a year. The total is more than doubled in 5 years, and the ammunition purchased from Israel cost $11 million more than if we had produced it here ourselves. I don't see any reason why we should employ Americans to produce ammunition when we can buy it from Israel, do you? I don't see any reason why we should employ 29,000 useless eaters here in the United States when we can export their jobs to Poland and India, do you? And then we do business with these multinational corporations. They screw us, they blew us, and they tattoo us, and then we do business with them by depositing our money in their institutions. Have we lost our minds in this country? Now he says we're expending 250,000 bullets. Last time I was into Bass Pro Shop and bought some ammunition, it was about 50 cents a round. So I'm going to just put in here times 0.50. That looks like $125,000. It costs $125,000 to kill an insurgent in Iraq. That's the ammunition that we're spending. Let's see. I think if you went over there to that insurgent and offered him $100,000 to get the hell out of Iraq and go to France and spend the money on the Riviera, I think that you'd do better solving the Iraq problem. And you'd save $25,000 in the process. Hey, listen to this. This comes out of Pennsylvania. I'm at the halfway point here. The Pennsylvania State Police will have to have fingerprints, photographs, social security numbers, and a host of other information if gun control advocates have their way. Hey, here's a little story here on gun control. Hang on a minute. Let me give you a reminder, and we'll be right back with gun control in Pennsylvania. Let's see here. You are listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it's open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, why don't you go to the homeschooling page on our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives. That can be accessed through the webpage as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Remember, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one. Number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint is not necessarily totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember our webpage is georgegordon.org. And you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. We're reviewing the International Forecaster and current events. Now, Pennsylvania has proposed a new gun control program. These gun control people just never give up. And they won't. Not until they get your guns away from you. But I thought I'd throw something out here that maybe you hadn't known. I'll probably do a series here on gun control here one of these days, but I saw some numbers here the other day. Did you know that there are 643,000 crimes a year, 643,000 crimes a year, that are thwarted or stopped because somebody has a gun? Yeah, that's right. For instance, you hear about it once in a while, and not very often, but there's a little liquor store down in I think it was on 23rd Avenue in Oakland, California. This many years ago, and the guy in the liquor store had kind of a bad neighborhood down there on 23rd Avenue. He had a gun under the counter there. Well, he shot and killed three robbers. Came into his store, shoot and kill. That's thwarting crime by being armed. Now, I remember working at Circle K for a short time, and they encouraged us. In fact, they prohibited us from having guns. They said, absolutely no way. If a robber comes in, you just give him the money. Now, oftentimes, robbers come into stores, and then they take the employees back to the cooler and shoot and kill them all. Of course, they don't tell you, well, gee, if these clerks had been armed, maybe they could have protected themselves, but leaving that question aside, the other day there was a shooting here, just a couple days ago as I speak, in Virginia at a college, and some guy came in there and he shot 30 people, killed them, shot a bunch more and wounded them. And there's just this great brouhaha going on over gun control, and immediately, there was a guy being interviewed on the Lehrer News Hour, and this guy was a gun control freak, and he said, well, see, here in America, we got all these guns, and this guy just went into a gun store, and he bought a gun, and he went out and shot 30 people. Now, if we would do away with guns, you know, we wouldn't have all this. Now, let me tell you a little story here, kids. If one girl in that classroom had a gun in her purse, she could have shot and killed that SOB in short order, and 30 people wouldn't have been killed. That's the bottom line. Now, I have said for years and years, and I'm going to say it once more, every woman in America should be packing heat in her purse, and that will eliminate rape. Now, you ladies out there, pay attention here. Down in Miami some years back, they had a rape problem. This was back in the 70s, as I recall. And they had, I think it was 9,000 rapes a year going on there in Miami. You know, Miami's a big town. 9,000 rapes a year. 9,000, I think that was the number. 9,000 divided by 365 would be 24 a day. About 25 rapes a day going on down there in Miami, a city of a couple million people. So, I don't know who thought this up, but somebody woke up and they said, well, let's start training women to carry a gun. So they armed, several thousand women down there. I think it was 10, 15, 20,000 women, I forgot exactly. And, you know, they put them through gun school. You know, you know, it's generally thought that women are too stupid to handle a gun. My wife never had a problem. She's just a girl and she can handle a gun. My grandmother, she was just a girl and she could handle a gun. She didn't have any problem with it. I figured Annie Oakley, she seemed to be able to handle a gun. I don't know why women 100 years ago could handle a gun, but you women today can't. Maybe it's because women could have babies by natural childbirth 100 years ago, and today you women can't. Maybe you're too weak to handle a gun. Can't handle it. It's too much for you. Maybe. Well, anyway, they armed these women, and maybe it was 9,000 women they armed down there. And the rape rate went down to one a month. Oh, that's what it was. I think they were having one rape a day. That's what it was. And they armed 9,000 women. And the rape rate went down to one a day. Well, you know, that makes all the sense in the world. You know, if you stop and think about it, you know, you want to go out and rape this woman, but you're looking down the bar over and say, well, I wonder if she's packing heat. Now let's get back to the college scenario. There wasn't a single person in this college who's got a gun. Nobody is armed. And now they're expecting the police. They're all mad at the police now and the college administration because this guy goes over, he kills two people over here in a dorm at 7 o'clock in the morning. All right, so you got a murder at 7 o'clock in the morning. Who would have suspected that this guy was going to go out 2 hours later and kill 30 people? I've been watching this on television. I've been watching Katie and Brian on television. You know those two clowns over there haven't got a brain between their ears. They're so damn dumb they make me sick. I can't even watch that crap anymore. Then I picked up the International Forecaster and I read this gun control thing here from Pennsylvania. Now listen to this. The Pennsylvania State Police will have to have fingerprints, photographs, social security numbers, and a host of other information if gun control advocates have their way. Six state lawmakers introduced legislation in the Pennsylvania legislature that would require criminal registration. Underline that. It requires criminal registration. Now, I'm not a criminal, and most of you people listening to me up there in Pennsylvania, you're not criminals, but they want to register you. Criminal registration, which is pure harassment of virtually every privately owned firearm in the state. Those who would refuse to register their guns would become criminals, and those denied registration certificates for any reason would have their guns confiscated by the government. Did you hear that? If you don't register your gun, they're going to confiscate them. This is House Bill 760, and it's co-sponsored by Representatives Lisa Bennington, Angel Cruz, Lawrence Curry, Sherelle Parker, Jake Wheatley, and Rosita Youngblood, all Democrats. Now, if you Democratic politicians want to know why we don't vote for you Democrats, it's this kind of crap right here. So we vote Republicans, and then we get the kind of crap we get from George Bush. So we got to choose between the war in Iraq and George Bush or gun control freaks on the other side of the aisle. Makes me want to puke. Make sure that they're not reelected, and you make sure you residents climb all over your representatives and senators on this issue. That's Chapman there again. I want to point out here that, boys and girls, honest to God, do you people believe that if we confiscate every damn gun in Pennsylvania, that anybody in the mafia up there is going to turn his gun in? Did you think that Murder Incorporated are going to turn their guns in because it's against the law? Do you think that some crazy lunatic who's planning on killing 30 people on the college campus is going to be deterred because it's against the law to have a gun? You lunatics? Now, I'll tell you, the solution to the problem is fairly simple. Now, not everybody wants to carry a gun, but the airline pilots do. A lot of them do. And the airline pilots, you know, they came up with a neat solution. They said, well, we think we can handle this hijacking problem. What we'll do when some guy comes in here with a box cutter and he breaks down the door to the cockpit, and the pilot and the co-pilot and the flight engineer, who are all ex-military, all ex-Navy fighter pilots, who are all carrying 45s under their armpits, turn around and they see some lunatic in the cockpit with a box cutter, they will all reach into their armpits, pull out their 45s, and pull the trigger, and they will kill this lunatic. Right there in the cockpit in the airplane. Now, boys and girls, that's what the Israelis do, and they don't have any hijacking. I just thought I'd pass that one on to you. And I just pointed out that if in any of the classrooms that this guy went into and is shooting people, if just one girl in there had a 25 automatic, better yet, maybe a 38 special, in her purse, she could have easily shot and killed this guy, and that would have been the end of the argument. She would have saved a lot of lives. No students in the college have any guns. And when you suggest that these students or the college professors have a gun, you know, you people, oh, if there you just go ballistic. It sound like a third grader. I'm going to tell Mrs. Wiles on you. That's what Judy Hartson said when I was looking at her Lady Jane's or her Mary Jane's, you know, seeing if her reflection showed up in her Mary Jane's and showed me what was under her dress. Makes me sick. Well, anyway, you're not going to arm any of you students up there on the college campus, and you're not going to arm any of the college professors, and you're going to have more and more of these crazy lunatics. See, what happens, you get these copycats now, see. Now that one crazy went onto the college campus and he shot up the place, there's other crazies out there. And those other crazies say, oh, look at that. I think I'll go do that too. And they will. And then there's nobody armed. The only guy that's going to have a gun is the crazy. And if you think that the police are going to be everywhere all at the same time, so the solution that they come up with, well, let's post a policeman in every classroom. Let's search everybody that comes in and out. I say, let's forget about the policeman in every classroom. Let's forget about all the searches and the police state mentality, and let's arm the citizens of America. And when the crazy comes in, let's kill the SOB, and that's the end of the argument. How's that one for a solution? Let's arm all the airline pilots so that when the crazy comes into the cockpit, we kill him, and that's the end of the argument. All right, now let's get on to something else here. Now we're reviewing the International Forecaster. This is the paper put out by Bob Chapman. It's International Forecaster at yahoo.com. $130 a year. I recommend this one probably more than any other, and that's simply because he's got more in it. Now there's a lot of good newsletters out there, and I recommend them, but this one here is really kind of dynamite. Did you know that the median earning family paid $3,736 in income taxes last year? That's the average guy. You know the guy that's making $16.57 an hour? They were split up. Military, this is where you spent your taxes, boys and girls. The military got one-fourth of that, about $1,045. The interest on the national debt was $340. The interest on the debt, non-military debt, was $385. Health, $779. Income security, $224. Education, $169. Veterans benefits, $125. Housing, $98. Natural resources, $70. Job training, $57. And all others, $463. Military spending not only consumed 27 cents, but also add in another 9 cents for borrowing to pay for past wars and military buildups. And if you throw in the incidentals, such as security, diplomacy, economic and military assistance, you come up to 40 cents of every tax dollar which goes to pay for wars and rumors of wars. You ever thought about that? In Matthew 24, the Messiah made an observation. He said, hey, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. Don't get panicky over that. Don't get panicky over the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan. He said, all of these things needs be come to pass, but the end isn't yet. Well, we're getting closer. You know, every day that goes by brings us a day closer, but the carnage that goes on around us and the stupidity that goes on around us, especially the stupidity that comes out of our government, it's almost more than a man can bear, isn't it? I mean, I look at this gun control thing. This kid, you know, he goes over here on the college campus and he shoots 30 people. And there's about a 5-minute diatribe on the Lair News Hour with some gun control freaks. You know, they didn't bring in the other side to say, listen, if anybody had been armed there. I got to tell you a little story. We got a judge here in our county. He's actually up in Wright County. His name is Judge Moody. And old Judge Moody, he's kind of a good old boy. Anyway, he had a case come down here, and the rumor was that the guy that was coming in was, it was a civil case. The guy that was coming in was kind of a nutso fruitcake, you know. So the judge comes in, he's packing heat. And so they had a deputy, you know, they got the regular bailiff, you know, in the courtroom. And the judge comes in, he reaches under his armpit, he pulls out a .45, and he sticks it down under the bench, he sits down, calls court to order, and he says, all right, let's get on with it. Now, I was sitting in the courtroom that day, and I kind of chuckled a little bit, and I said, well, here's the judge in here. We got a bailiff. Now, the bailiff, he's got a gun, you know, a .38 snub nose or something. Maybe it's .45, but 9mm or something, you know. But the judge, you know, he'd heard that there might be a little trouble in the courtroom. And, you know, we don't have any metal detectors here in Ozark County. We don't search people, you know, and look up their rectums to see whether or not they're packing something. The judge comes in, sticks a gun under the counter, and says, okay, let's get on with it. No, that's the way we used to deal here in America. You know, we weren't running around with SWAT teams and a police state mentality, and we had law and order. But that's because everybody knew that, you know, if you walk in here and you start shooting the place up, somebody's going to pull a gun and blow you away. There used to be a time in America, you know, when we had armed citizenry. And when we had armed citizenry, we had law and order. Now that you've got the citizenry disarmed in Washington, D.C., you got the highest crime rate in the nation in Washington, D.C. Last I heard, they had the highest murder rate in the country. They kind of trade back and forth, you know, the highest murder rate in the country between Washington, D.C. and Philadelphia and New York. All the places where they have strict gun control and you can't pack heat, girls. And then you have high crime and you wonder why. You get into the areas out here in the Midwest where everybody's armed. In this county, I don't know of anybody that doesn't have a gun. No crime here. You want to go over to Dale Smith's and burglarize his house? Okay. You're on your own, partner. Because I think old Dale's got heat over there. And if he catches you in his house, I think he'll blow you away. And so does Don and Everett and everybody around me. If you want to go burglarize one of my neighbor's houses, you're going by yourself. Don't call on me to go with you. Because you probably won't come out of there alive. And you know, that's kind of the way it is here. That's kind of the way it used to be here in America. And it kind of kept everybody honest, didn't it? Now you've disarmed everybody. Anybody can walk into any school. Anybody can walk into any institution. Hell, you can walk into Denny's for crying out loud and start shooting people and killing them. Who's going to stop them? You haven't got anybody in there with a gun. Do you expect the police to be everywhere all the time? Have you lost your minds? Now, the way to keep law and order, the way to keep the peace, is to have an armed citizenry. That's why we have a Second Amendment, kids. The right to keep and bear arms. If you don't want to pack a gun, that's fine. But I'd sure feel a lot better on the airplane if I knew that the pilot and the co-pilot were both packing heat. Then I would know positively there will be no hijacking of this airplane. Now you've got everybody on the airplane disarmed. And there's one guy that's planning, working hard to get on the airplane with a gun. And if he succeeds, he's the boss. There isn't anybody that can stop him. I say, let's have 50 people on the airplane and they're all packing guns. Now, one of you guys stand up and let's see if you can hijack it. Maybe 5 of you try to hijack it with 50 people on the airplane and they're all packing guns. I tell you, kids, you know, if we would think this through and start using our heads, pay attention again. I said it before, let me say it again. Nobody's hijacking Israeli airliners because the cockpit crew are all armed. They're all packing guns. They're hijacking American airplanes. And now they've got us subjected to this police state mentality over here. They want to take all of our guns away from us, take us into the airport, run us through metal detectors, and treat us like a bunch of damn criminals in a penitentiary. And we just lay down and take it. And evidently we love it. I don't see anybody complaining about it. I'm the only lunatic fringe out here complaining about it. Let me read you one more here. You can always count on the Securities and Exchange Commission to keep their corporate masters happy. The Securities and Exchange Commission is changing how it negotiates settlements with companies in a way that could reduce the number and the size of financial penalties that businesses have to pay. This, of course, was all done behind closed doors. Now, what the Securities and Exchange Commission wants to do is to cut down corporate fines and then let off the hook the 600 or so corporate officers who backdated options, defrauding their shareholders. They should all be charged criminally for fraud and conversion. This comes on the heels of a complaint from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the nation's largest business lobby, which says that the Securities and Exchange Commission Enforcement Division isn't fair. And what they are saying is these corporate officers and corporations should be let off with a slap on the wrist. This, incidentally, is the same group that is responsible for our illegal alien population. They back amnesty, and they are the companies that are hiring these illegals. American citizens get screwed again by corporate America and the Securities and Exchange Commission and the neocons in the White House. Well, you know, this violates just weights and balances again, and so I put a little note down here. I know that Bob Chapman, you know, is an old-timey broker, stockbroker. And Americans, you know, 51% of us. I saw Katie Couric the other day, and she reported that 51% of Americans are now invested in stocks. I want to report that George Gordon doesn't own any stocks. I don't own any stocks because they're unjust weights and balances, and they violate thou shalt not steal, and they violate you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag. And these crooks aren't stealing anything from me because I don't give them an opportunity to. But you know, if I was buying stocks and if I was doing business with these multinational corporations, they'd screw me, blue me, and tattoo me just like they do you and everybody else. So I thought that I'd make mention of that and point out to you, you know, instead of being the proximate cause of our own injury, why don't we stop doing business with these people? Here in the classroom, I often ask people, do you do business with the mafia? And people look at me, you know, like I'm suffering from the terminal stupids. Of course we don't do business with the mafia. I always ask, why? Well, because they're criminals. Well, if you don't do business with the mafia because they're criminals, why do you do business with government and corporations? Just thought I'd throw that one out there. Make you feel real good for the rest of the day. And then a congressional panel investigating the firing of eight federal prosecutors authorized subpoenas for emails the White House says are missing. Oh, give me a break. Give me a break. The White House says they're missing. That reminds me of Richard Nixon and the 18 missing minutes on his tapes, doesn't it? Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Pat Leahy, Democrat of Vermont, says, I do not believe that. Leahy says, I don't believe it. Okay, Pat, I don't believe it either. We don't either. We just want the hard drives, and we'll find them ourselves. It's an obvious fact that the neocons in the White House violated the Presidential Records Act, and Leahy says the matter is reminiscent of the old line, the dog ate my homework. Hey, we're reviewing the International Forecaster. I think in the next segment I got to do this one again. I'm having so much fun I can't contain myself. Remember, the International Forecaster is published by Bob Chapman. It's called the International Forecaster at yahoo.com. That's two words, by the way. International Forecaster at yahoo.com. That's two words. Now, if you want to go to their website, it's www.theinternationalforecaster.com, all one word. That's www.theinternationalforecaster.com. Hey, we're about out of time, kids. Let me remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school and is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening. And good night, friends.